Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey folks, welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally. Brad and Dalton here with you on this Wednesday, the 7th of February. It's busy. I mean, we mentioned this last week, Dalton, but it just seems like each week gets busier. We got basketball regular season winding down, soccer playoffs starting up, baseball practice starting up, among other things, Dalton. So we got lots to do, don't we?
Yeah, we do. It's been extremely hectic with the high school, and then for me, I know I got sent to cover college the other day and help out.
Right,
so it's
sure
even
did.
Busier. I'm tired right now.
Yeah.
It's not stopping anytime soon.
No. Yeah, you had to go to Starkville to help Logan with that NBC women's game. They beat South Carolina. Then last night, you were at Saltillo for that basketball game. Tonight, you get to go cover soccer at Tupelo because mm-hmm. they moved it because of the weather. And then Friday, I think you're going to Tupelo to cover the Corinth-Tupelo boys game.
Yeah, I got Thursday off, though. So
yeah, you got Thursday off. That's something.
We're good.
Welcome to the grind, Dalton. This is how it's going to be the rest of your life if you decide to stay in this profession. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, but you know, it keeps us busy, and we get, you know, helps us hit our byline count. Makes John Pitts happy. That's all that matters.
It don't bother me. I enjoy going out and covering the games.
Make the boss happy. That's right. Yeah. Me too, man. And so we're going to try to squeeze in a bunch of stuff here over the next 15 to 20 minutes. Just a reminder that this podcast comes to you every Wednesday. You can find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at DJournalPrep. That'll let you know when we drop new episodes, and just that's also where we put all our high school sports updates. Okay, let's real quick, Dalton, let's look back at a few key results on the basketball court from the past few days. Start with last night. I went up to Boonville, a big Division I-3A showdown between Boonville and North Pontotoc boys. Both teams come in to that game 4-0 in the division. This is the final division game, so the winner gets the number one seed next week for the tournament. And Boonville's boys, man, they come back and pull off a bit of an upset, 73-67. North Pontotoc is our number 10 ranked team, and Boonville, and I've seen them two or three times before, Dalton. I saw them against Tupelo early in the season. I saw them against Biggersville when Davian Price hit that three-pointer at their buzzer. And much like in that Biggersville game against North Pontotoc, Boonville got down early. They are just a scrappy bunch, probably the scrappiest, most physical team I've seen, and not a team that's that big either. And now they're kind of young right now too, but they've got some guards that just really get after it, and they do have some experience with guys like Jarius Crump and Dallas Gamble, and then they had like I think three or four freshmen that had to be part of the bench rotation. But they came back and won. They got down by 12 in the third quarter. And, I mean, North Pontotoc is a good team, okay? They've got five seniors that start for them. Guys like Clark Mills, you may remember, was our offensive player of the year in football. Jacquez Berry and Perez Dilworth, who got off to a hot start last night. But Boonville, man, they just kept up the defensive pressure, got some turnovers. And really, at halftime, Michael Smith, their coach, told me he challenged a couple of guys to play better the second half. One of those guys was Cole McGrath, a junior, and he did not play well the first half. He's a starter, came out the second half, scored 12 of his 14 points in the fourth quarter, which is when Boonville finally got the lead and kept it. And so between him and Cameron Young, who came off the bench and scored 18, Boonville had a really impressive showing and won the division title. So, I mean, I guess you've seen them a little bit too, Dalton. That's a team you can't count them out of any game.
No, you can't. They are, like, exactly what you just said, scrappy. And I saw them last week when they played Kossuth, and they were down 3 or 4 points there in the second quarter. I know that's not as much as 12 like the game you covered, but, you know, they came back and they outscored them. I think it was like 33-15 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Came back and won that game by 10, 12 points or whatever it was. But, you know, they are very scrappy. They're going to fight. They might not have the biggest guys on the court at all time. They didn't have much size when I saw them, but they went out there and they played as hard as they could.
Yeah, they scored 26 points in the fourth quarter to end up with the win there. So Boonville, again, this is not Michael Smith's best boys team. They're 14-9 And but they're going to get better, I think. He's got some young guys coming up next year that'll give them a little more size. And by the way, they did this without one of their starters, Hunter Bullard. I remember he hurt himself during football really bad back during the early in the season. I think it was the Baldwin game. And so it took him a while to get back from that knee injury. He's not 100%, and he tweaked his knee or something at some point in the first quarter, and he left for the rest of the game. So they lost an inside presence when he went out, and so they're just depending on a lot of these scrawny freshmen and scrawny juniors too. I mean, Cole McGrath is a junior. He's a stiff wind could blow him over, but he's pretty quick. He made some nice moves to the basket, had a spinning layup at one point, had another driving layup, had to put back in the paint. I mean, he really was the aggressor there and really took to heart whatever Michael Smith told him at halftime to challenge him. So big win for Boonville's boys. Nettleton's boys, I saw them defeat South Pontotoc on Friday. They put up 98 points, shot lights out. Sean Pounds had like 27. Grant Gardner had, excuse me, not Grant, that's the coach. His son, Grady Gardner, had, I think, 21. They hit like 17 of 30 from downtown. It was ridiculous. And that's a really good 3A team. They ran into a really good 5A team last night, Dalton and Saltillo, and that was a different story.
Yeah, they didn't have quite the same amount of luck. They scored 98 against South Pontotoc, and they give up 94 yesterday to Saltillo. Saltillo, don't get me wrong, is a fantastic team, and they just really had so much luck. Not luck, as they had so much presence inside. And yeah, they just had a couple guys there that are three or four guys on that Saltillo team that are bigger than anybody on Nettleton's team. They just go inside and get whatever they want. But Nettleton's a good team. I've seen them multiple times this year. You've seen them a couple times. And
yeah, they'll be fine in 3A playoffs. They'll make some noise, I think.
Oh, no doubt.
When they shoot as well as they did last Friday.
And they were keeping it close there for a little bit. I think the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game, it was tied 13-13. Actually, not Grady, but Graham Gardner, the youngest son, had hit three threes in the in the first quarter. He hit two more in the second quarter. They were tied at 13, but then Saltillo just kind of went on a little run. It was like a 22-2 run or something right there in the first half. And
yeah, the Isaiah Hardy had a big game, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He has had a big game every single game I've seen him, but there's always been somebody that just does a little bit better, and then last night was just his night.
Yeah.
He was hitting threes, he was finishing layups. He was 7-for-7 from the free throw line. He just, all around, that was probably his best game that I've seen so far.
Yeah, 26?
26 points.
Yeah, and Saltillo's our number 3 ranked boys team, so that's no shame in losing to them. That's a really good squad, but it should prepare Nettleton for the postseason, if nothing else. Nice non-division matchup there. Going back to Boonville, let's talk about the girls. You got to see them against Kossuth last week. Now, Kossuth was the lone undefeated team left in the area, and they had moved up, I think, to number 4 in our rankings. And Boonville took them down, and Boonville's a good team. They've been playing really well. Shmiah Williams, Kinsley Murphy had a good game too.
Yeah, and both times I've seen Boonville girls this year, I have not seen Ellie Nash yet. She has not played in either one of the games I've seen, so
really?
Shmiah Williams has had to step up and kind of carry the team, and she has done exactly that. I think both games she scored 20-plus points. And Kinsley Murphy is just an outstanding shooter. She gets in the corner and just hits everything that she can. And she did that. I think she hit 6 threes in the game. She was like 6 of 9 shooting. Yeah. Shmiah Williams just drives. She was just too fast and too strong for anybody to when she got in that paint and just finished almost every single thing she shot.
And then I got to see them last night against North Pontotoc, and they actually struggled in the first half. It was like 17 all at halftime. Then Williams finally got going. I think she scored all 13 of her points after halftime. She and Ellie Nash did play, but she and Ellie both spent most of the second quarter on the bench in foul trouble. But I think Nash ended up with 8 or 9 points, and then Kristen Perrigo led the way with like 14. Points, I believe. So it was surprising that they struggled against North Pontotoc's a decent team, but they just defensively early on gave Boonville fits. But Boonville's good, and they figured it out and clinched the division. So
I would love to see Boonville when they're clicking all cylinders with Kinsley Murphy out there and Shmiah Williams and Ellie Nash all going, because Michael Smith told me that he thinks Kinsley Murphy might be the best shooter he's ever coached, girls or boys.
Wow. And saying something. He's been there a while.
Yeah, and that's what he told me after the game. And every game I've seen her, she just shoots lights out from three, so that it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, she's a good shooter.
Yeah, certainly. So here's just a quick recap of some recent games. Coming up, again, the regular season ends on Friday. A lot of teams will wrap up on Thursday, a day early, and then we have division tournaments next week. So you're seeing a lot of non-division You're seeing some of these division games that were key division games like last night with in Boonville. We got a lot of non-division matchups as well, including last night, number one and number two battled Okolona and Starkville. Okolona's been number one for us all season, and they beat Starkville in November. Starkville got the win last night. That score was 52-49 in Starkville. I guess that means Starkville moves up to number one next week in the rankings just by virtue of, you know, you beat number one and you're number two, you should get to be number one, at least for a little while. Blake Rogers had 23 points, but Okolona is going to be a terror in the 1A playoffs.
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
They are extremely talented.
Yes, they are. Okay, now let's look ahead. Again, the regular season ends Friday, and then the division tournament start up next week all over the area, all over the state. A couple of games Friday. We're going to check out Corinth and Tupelo Boys. Be a fun little matchup. Corinth beat Senatobia in overtime last night to clinch the division. And so, Tata Strickland, he's been on fire, hasn't he?
Yes, they have. The whole team has been. They've won 12 in a row now, but Tata seems like every single game he's putting up 25-10, 25-8, 30. He's a fantastic player.
He had 40 the other night, I think. Yeah, somebody.
That doesn't surprise me at all. I think he had 35-40 in the game. I watched him a couple weeks ago, and then whenever he had a bad game, John D had 39. So
yeah, John D Warren. Yeah. So yeah, that should be a fun game for you to cover on Friday. My plan is to go to Houston Calhoun City girls. Calhoun City's had a really good season, although they lost to Shannon last night. Now that's Calhoun City's 2A. Shannon's 4A. Shannon's a decent team. I was a little surprised they beat him. I think it was like a 19-point win. And I was kind of wondering about that, about Calhoun City. With the good record, they haven't played the toughest of schedules. And so this could be a good game against Houston on Friday. Be good to get a look at them there down at Calhoun City. And also coming, we're planning to run it on Sunday. I went to Hickory Flat on Tuesday morning. I had a good talk with Jarvis Harris and his sister, Ardestiny Harris. And, of course, those are both very, very good basketball players. The siblings, Jarvis a senior, Ardestiny a sophomore. They both recently surpassed 1,000 points for their careers, and Ardestiny still has 2 years left. She came up as an eighth grader about halfway through the season to the varsity because she was so dominant at the junior high level. So Brent Cool, the coach for both teams, he's very happy to have both of them, and the girls are playing really well there at Hickory Flat. So look for that story coming up. The soccer playoffs started this week, Dalton. Tupelo's girls lost on Monday to Northwest Rankin. Tupelo's boys play tonight. That game scheduled for Tuesday originally moved to Wednesday night because of the weather that came in. Had some bad rain Tuesday. Tupelo's boys undefeated, taking on Northwest Rankin, which is also a really good team, isn't it?
Yes, they are both extremely good. Northwest Rankin only has one loss, and it's to Madison Central, who won that division. Tupelo, of course, has zero losses, but you know, you get a first-round playoff game and there's only one combined loss. That's got to be a heck of a game.
Yeah.
Tupelo actually is, you know, whenever they look at the rankings, Tupelo was in the top five or something, top seven in max prep. So they've actually gone down. They haven't lost, but they've gone down to 13.
Interesting.
Northwest Rankin still ranked in the top three or four in the nation. In the state, I think they're both 2 and 3.
Okay.
But it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen. I could see both these teams really competing for state championship. I mean, you get two teams with one loss in the first – combined one loss in the first round. Either one of those teams has a strong chance of making it.
Yeah, we had a bunch of teams in action Monday and Tuesday. It was girls Monday, boys Tuesday. And then the second round will be on Saturday. We've got a lot of those matchups already determined. So we got a lot of area teams still alive, so look for our coverage. Look for Dalton's coverage of the Tupelo boys in Thursday's journal. Real quick, let's talk some football. This news came down last week. Jonathan Banks, you should know who that is, was a star cornerback at Mississippi State, played a few years in the NFL. He's going to be a coach now at Starkville High School, going to coach the cornerbacks. That news came down, I guess, late last week. I forget what day it was, Dalton. But Jonathan, you know, I covered him when he was at East Webster High School. He led the football team to a state title game appearance as a sophomore. He won a couple of state titles in baseball, won one in basketball, and then went on to MSU, and people know what he did there. Had a great career, won the Jim Thorpe Award as a senior, got drafted by the Bucks, and ended up getting cut by the Texans this past fall after a few games. And he was like, okay, I'm going to hang it up. He was done with football. He was getting ready to go to trooper school. He wanted to be a Mississippi Highway Patrolman, which is something when he was in college, he mentioned that. And I thought that was kind of cool that even back then he was like, yeah, I'm going to be a state trooper when I'm done with football. So he was all set to do that. And he was working out at East Webster, getting ready for that. And then Ron Price, the East Webster football coach, was like, no, you ought to be coaching. So Jonathan started thinking about it. And Chris Jones, the coach at Starkville, was like, had been kind of talking with Jonathan, kind of joking about, oh, yeah, you should come help us on the team, be on the coaching staff. And then recently Jonathan spoke at their sports banquet, and the talks kind of became more serious. And Jonathan had been thinking about it. He was like, yeah, you know. He was like, do I want to put my body through all this again? You know, because basically getting ready for trooper school, he said, was a lot like getting ready for football season, very physically demanding. And so he's like, yeah, you know, it seemed like something he'd wanted to do. And so he's going to join the Starkville staff as the cornerbacks coach. And you can't really, I mean, that's he's only, I think, 27, 28 years old, but he brings a lot of football knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, he has to. And if I'm a DB or corner on that Starkville team and they tell me Jonathan Banks is coming to coach me, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah,
you know, he goes to MSU and he wins the Jim Thorpe as the nation's top defensive back, and then goes to play in the NFL. He's got a great mind there.
He does. I mean, he's a guy who came from East Webster, came to it was nobody recruited him except Dan Mullen, basically. And he goes to MSU as a very good athlete, but he was kind of a raw athlete, and he was really skinny, and you know, physically he wasn't where he needed to be. But then that freshman year, you know, he has the two pick sixes off Tebow, and it kind of just went uphill from there. He just kept getting better and better, and obviously really was well coached there, and got his technique down really well. And so he's a guy, I think, who knows what it takes to take some raw talent and turn it into something, because he's been through that process. So you know, great players don't always make great coaches. But I think with Banks, we'll see him really make an impact on that Starkville team that went to the state title game last year and lost to Pearl, and they're in good hands with Chris Jones. So Jonathan Banks to Starkville, that's kind of a cool deal. Real quick, Dalton, Tupelo Baseball had a story on them the other day. They're back on the field, as many baseball teams are, to get ready for the season. The defending 6A state champs, what do they got back?
Got a lot of talent back. They got Sal Sanders and Josh Smith and Gatlin Farrar, all played significant time. Josh Smith was the leading hitter and leading pitcher last year. Sal Sanders and Gatlin both played infield. Josh was also the center fielder.
Yeah,
they lost a lot of pitching, but they're gonna need somebody to step up there. I know they got a couple of pitchers that are young that they're gonna rely on, but they've got a lot of hitters on that team.
Yeah,
I think I went out there the other day and they had couple guys, it was like four home runs and the wind was blowing. It wasn't just helping out too much, but they've got it's interesting, they don't have many juniors on that team. I think it's like three juniors, and they've got like 11 seniors and like 11 sophomores. And
interesting,
both very talented classes. I know Peyton Puckett, who's an MSU commit, is in that sophomore class. He didn't play any varsity last year. Maybe I think he had like one fielding,
must have played some travel ball,
one fielding eyes. Chance and
But
he goes out there the other day, and he's hitting lasers, hits a home run, and he's just a very, very good shortstop. He's gonna be really good for them this year. And I don't know. The pitching is what worries me with that team, and they're gonna have to find something to replace that, because you're not gonna get through a tough 6A schedule with no pitching.
Right. Yeah. But I think they'll be awfully good again this year. So, yeah, season starts in just a few weeks there. Baseball coming up. Athletes of the week, let's wrap this up. We do this every week, honor a male and female athlete for their exploits from the past few days. Female athlete of the week, Ciara Jackson of Shannon, had 25 points on Tuesday in that win that I mentioned over Calhoun City. 69-50 was the final. 20 points against Tupelo on Friday. Tupelo won that game 62-44, but Ciara scores almost half her team's points. And then she had 17 points last Wednesday and a 53-42 win over Amory. Male athlete of the week, the Anthony Tippler of Ashland. You should know that name well. He had 53 points, Dalton, last night, Tuesday, in a 101-59 win over Faulkner. Set a school record for points in the game, and he did it in 2.5 quarters. It's ridiculous.
It's impressive.
I think he had 44 at halftime or something.
I saw a tweet at halftime. Jeez. I was at my game, and it was 44 points, and I couldn't even believe it.
I mean, we know he can light it up, but that's just ridiculous. And then, by the way, on Friday he had 35 points in a win over West Union. So, Yeah, that's one of your all-area player guys right there, De'Anthony Tipler. You'll see him on the all-area team again this year. And Ashland playing that tough early schedule, I'm sure they'll make noise in the 1A playoffs. They've won the last two state titles there in 1A. So congrats to De'Anthony and Ciara, and that does it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for joining us. Again, coming to you every Wednesday, and you can find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Follow Dalton on Twitter at DLMiddleton8. I'm on there as well at Brad Locke. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. We'll be back here next week. Thanks for joining us.